Well, the final meeting of the month, of course, is skipped a Monday with President's Day back yesterday. Let's start first. Anything on citizens' comments?
We didn't have anybody to speak during citizens' comments, but we did actually have a few people sit in on the meeting. Rhonda Graff and Shannon Pivato both were there, along with Dawson Brunswick, so welcome them, and always glad to have extra people just sit in and listen to us take care of business. So certainly welcome them, and went on to take care of other items.
Review accounts payable and payroll claims.
And actually, you know, the end of the month, it is time for payroll claims, so had some things to review there. So
had a visit from Mr. Andy Long of the McCook EDC in the quarterly report.
Yes, Andy Long was in yesterday there for his quarterly report. Kind of had him fouled up on our timelines here. Usually we have him at 9:30, and he was kind of thinking that. Well, we just didn't correspond very well on the 9:15, so he was a little late, but that was perfectly fine. Andy went ahead and gave us the update. He started off with the LB 840 funds and how the expenditures are going there. A lot of that's been dealing with the early childhood care that we've talked so much about over the last few months. Moving forward, they are in a process of set up to stepping up to quality. This is basically gauging the providers out there on and making sure they're following all the proper guidelines and so forth. There are some more new grants coming out associated with that, so certainly Andy's going to be working through that. He also commented on the partnership they have with Southwest Nebraska Betterment group there. This group's out of Grant, Nebraska, really dealing with the new housing. If you have a medium income of 120%, you could qualify for these housing programs, and some of it involves the down payment assistant programs and then also rehabs. Andy then went on to speak that they are going into the process of building a house on West 9th and Q up here by Quillen Park. There is a vacant lot there. They're going to build a house, put it up for sale, and then once that works out, continue on in that same manner. And then, of course, they're working with the Hormel competition program that's currently in progress, and those applications and deadlines, I believe, are due in the middle of April. Finally, he is working on the state housing grant. That application has been submitted. I know there's been a lot of conversations over the last month on that. And then wrapping up, he spoke briefly about the digital facade program they have and really how that has helped Sainert's Bakery out quite immensely there with all the shipments they were able to make all over the country there. And then finally, the co-worker space that's slowly growing in the Keystone facility there on the fourth floor and how that's progressing. So Andy did buzz through and give us a very quick update, but certainly always welcome to have him there and speak to the board and just keep us all informed of what's going on throughout the community.
Yep, does a great job over there, and he comes in like every quarter and updates.
Yep, it's really been consistent for Andy since he's come on board. He's been very committed to the fact that feels like he needs to come and meet with the different boards on a quarterly basis just so that we do all stay on the same format as far as communications.
Next up, set March the 1st as the 9:30 a.m. as date and time to open bids for surplus pickup.
Yes, this is correct. This was a really short agenda item and one that really involved a declaration a couple weeks ago. I bought a different vehicle for my road district, District 1 in Danbury. Due to that, we do have a surplus pickup. It's a 1985 Chevrolet four-wheel drive, three-quarter ton pickup that is listed for sale currently, and we will be accepting sealed bids until next Monday, March 1st at 9:30 a.m. So pretty plain and simple item there. Just a vehicle we need to get rid of. So,
next up, a create uniform guidelines for COVID absences.
You know, this has been an ongoing conversation, and really kind of relates back to the middle of December when things were really peaking and concerning a lot of people. Over the past year, I believe it was April 1st of 2020, at that time the governor put out initiatives in which there were guidelines for employees if they had to be absent due to COVID or be quarantined. Those did expire as of December 31st of 2020, at which time our board went ahead and chose to extend the benefits for county employees, full-time employees, to April 1st. Well, there's still a lot of people asking, well, what if we get it? How are we going to handle it? And it's really time that we start moving forward. We've tried the best we can to follow as many of the guidelines that have been put out on the health direct measures, and then the CDC giving guidelines to the public health departments. Still to really try to enforce those within the courthouse itself and all the county facilities, as far as, you know, temperature checks, good hygiene, wearing masks, and, you know, just staying home if you're sick, obviously, and then the social distancing. But we did not extend anything beyond the April 1st guideline. It's time that we just all continue to be very conscientious of how we're handling this, and just take care of ourselves and hope that we don't have any more big outbreaks there of any kind. And certainly, you know, as we watch the news every day, the guidelines on quarantines have changed over the last few weeks. As far as the vaccines, you know, I'd seen over the weekend that they're pretty confident now that by the middle of the summer, there will be enough vaccines for everybody if you choose to take it. So, you know, I think things are progressing in the right manner, and certainly, hopefully, we can put this all behind us very soon.
Decision on video security systems bid for the jail.
Yes, this was another item from a couple weeks ago. Dee Schultz, our jail administrator, was out with the flu at that time when we opened bids. Alan Cotchwire, Redwell County Sheriff, was with us that particular day, and him and Dee were both with us yesterday. And we had the two bids. One was from Accurate Controls for $70,063.02. They are the company who currently put the system into the facility at the time it was built. And then the second bid was from Control Masters. They're actually a company located here in Nebraska. They're out of Omaha, and their bid come in at $95,362 there. So pretty good difference in the two, but had a very good discussion as far as what the recommendation would be. As far as Accurate Controls, they were basically just going to come in and update the software and hardware. They have 31 cameras in the facility. Some of those are not working properly at this time and actually are becoming very obsolete and outdated. The decoders are failing, which is creating another issue in the master controls. So as far as Control Masters, they would be putting in 32 cameras, one more camera, but theirs would be 360-degree cameras, so much better coverage than what Accurate Controls would have. They would set us up on a payment program in which we could pay for this project over 2 or 3 years instead of all in one shot. And in both cases, it looks like really the timeline as far as even getting started is probably going to be June or July. So beans, we are in a situation where we have inadequate equipment. We need to be moving forward. So yesterday, after all the discussion, Alan Cotchwire, D. Schultz both recommended that they would prefer we go with Control Masters, even though it is approximately $25,000 higher, but certainly appears that we're going to get as you might say, so much more bang for the dollar there as far as how the system's going to be set up and work. So we did go ahead and motion to go that direction, and they'll get in contact with them and get everything set up.
Krista Carell, assessor, a presentation estimate from Standard Appraisal for 6-year review.
Yes, Standard Appraisal has been working with Red Willow County for 6 or 8 years now, maybe a little beyond that on some other minor work. But it was, I believe Christy said, in 2016, we had hired them to come in and review all of our commercial property. By law, we're required to review all properties in our counties every 6 years. So here we are 5 years out, and the timelines are getting very short as far as having to look at all the commercials again. Obviously, the ladies in the assessor's office have been working all the time on residential properties, but certainly commercial is a little more challenging. So Christy did come in with a bid from Standard Appraisal yesterday. 6 years ago, their bid was $117,690 to go in and do this complete reappraisal. Their bid as of yesterday was coming in at $131,040, so an increase there of not quite $14,000. But she had talked to them and possibly might be able to negotiate that down a little bit and get it down closer to the $121,000 mark. So it's really a matter of a wait and see. What they need to do is review all rent and income on these commercials, do interior inspections, visit with the owners. The cost, income, and market approach is just a little too much for our level of expertise in the assessor's office, so it just requires us to really look into the fact that we need to hire someone to come in and do this. We currently have 624 commercial properties that would need to be evaluated, but after discussion yesterday where Christy only had the one quote, we felt like without researching it to see if this would be exempt from the bidding requirements there where the project would be over $50,000, that she reach back out and do some more investigating, and then also see if there's any other companies out there that would be interested in giving us a quote too, just so we can do our due diligence to make sure we're getting the best deal here. So we did table that until she can review that and look into any further companies out there and the legal obligations.
Consent agenda, you had a couple of items there.
We did. Obviously, approving minutes from previous Board of Commissioners meeting is something we do each and every week. And then the second item, approve miscellaneous account payable and payroll claims. Those come in this month at $305,376.84. Of that, there's about $30,000 that was related to health insurance claims and payments in lieu there. So did boost that total up a little bit. One correspondence item. This is from Nebraska Commission on Law Enforcement. It's notice of a jail inspection. Actually, this is going to be tomorrow on February 24th, 2021. Daniel Evans will be here to go through his yearly inspection of our jail. Obviously, we will need to have all the required documentation in place for him to review, including SOP manuals and everything involved with the center itself there. So it'll be a very thorough inspection, and certainly one that we hope he has been giving us a good score on there. Yesterday we did, just for an update, had 26 inmates in the facility, so it's right there at that full mark. Wrapping up then, a couple reports there. We had clerk's monthly revenue reports. She actually had two reports in there. And then the City of Indianola provided us with their financial statement. That statement ended on 9/30 of 2020. And it's like so many other small entities. The primary concern there is just segregation of duties due to small employment to monitor the finances that take place. So pretty busy meeting once again there yesterday, and a lot of things to talk about, and certainly we'll have some items, especially with the county assessor, Christy Correll, that we'll continue to visit on over the next couple weeks there.
Skip a week, and that's what happens 2 weeks later, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, and there's no doubt. I mean, we're now, next week, we'll already be into the month of March. We will be coming into a busier time of the season, so I would expect our meetings to continue this format from here on out now. So,
and again, every Monday morning, 9 o'clock at the courthouse. And I see you have five Mondays in the month of March, don't you?
There is. We did already make a change there a couple weeks ago. We're going to obviously meet March 1st, which is next Monday. We are going to not meet on March 8th there. Kayla Richards was going to be gone, so she asked if we could swap the schedule around, being there was five meetings in there, so then we'll turn around and meet the remaining three Mondays of March there. So we'll still get our four meetings in there. So,
and with it being March, it's just about time for Earl to fill out his brackets for this year, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I got to be totally honest with you. I have not really followed much basketball, so it's going to be probably a shot in the dark here. So.
You and many, many, many others, including me, I haven't had a chance to watch as much either. So, I mean, we'll go out and fill and have fun.
Obviously, last week we wrapped up wrestling. Now we're going into high school basketball. And then you're right, March Madness will be here, so
yeah,
we'll wait and see here. So.
Spring on spring, huh?
It's just nice that we're starting to have activities going on, and we just hope and pray that it continues that way. So.